This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the tense. Starring the tense. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb.
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the home episodes of the podcast. I'll be the host of the Steelers podcast, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
My name's Ted Smith. All right. In the lower square today, in a better connection, he goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
My name's Aaron Cobb. Back in the Emerald City. Pumped to cast with you, boys. What's going on? Sorry.
All right, back up there in the lower left, or the top left square, get the studio all set up, recording, doing his thing. Matt Comer, the producer, MCCP. What's up, Matt?
Feeling good, hanging out in the hot corner tonight.
Oh, nice baseball reference. I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
Third base is generally called the hot corner, because if you play third base, like, it's like reaction time. You don't, like, shortstop and second, the ball usually is on the ground a few times, so you can make a play on it. Third base is a lot of just positioning and reaction, the hot corner. Plus, generally, your third baseman is going to be closer in to the plate than any other infielder.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that makes sense. So he just jumps all over that and cranks it first.
Yeah, it's like when I used to play slow pitch at work. Like, I always had to play third because nobody else was as good as a fielder. And I was like, man, in slow pitch, you're just asking for it sitting down there on third base.
Yeah, seriously. You're asking to get it just cranked right at you.
Yeah, and some of those dudes, I remember talking trash to a guy, and he just, like, steps out of the box, and he's like, all right, Ted, stand right there, and just rifle one at me. And luckily, I just backhanded it, and I was like, thank God.
Cool. Act like you've been there. Grab a seat, buddy.
I mean, look, when I played baseball growing up, I would have played more third base, but you've seen me throw a baseball or a football. Like, my arm is just trash.
Me too.
I can field the ball, but throwing it across the diamond was always a bit tough.
What position did you play?
I mostly played first base.
Got that good hand.
Yeah, I was a good defender and this and that, and I could hit the ball. So, like, I will say this. If anybody has any kids that are playing baseball, if they can hit the ball, any Little League coach will find a spot for them. All right, so last week when we were leaving off, I told you guys to think about the fast food draft.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this.
Yeah, so we started talking about this, me and my brother, my buddy Will, and friend Sean. We're on, like, another text thread. And I think we were talking about fantasy drafts, and then we got into the fast food draft. But, like, of all the fast food, it's tough, because you got to think about iconic items from different places, right? So you got, like...
And eras.
Right, so you got, like, the Big Mac and you got the Whopper. Like, I don't know. I feel like McDonald's French fries alone might be a first-round pick.
Okay. I mean, I would like a little bit of criteria. So we're writing off fast casual, but I feel like fast food pizza maybe is in play. My question for you is, what are we drafting for? Like, all-star, just, like, items, popularity?
Yeah, so we're just – I mean – that's the thing that you got to kind of think about it. It's like, if you're drafting, like, a fantasy draft, so you can take fast food items. Mm. And I'm with you. I put delivery pizza as fast food as well.
Oh yeah.
But it's like, Yeah, like what items do you think you draft first? Because there's so many options.
Man, and that's the thing, you know, Ted, I feel like some people are going to go with your staples, your McDonald's fries, your Burger King Whopper. Me and Matt, I'm sure, we like a hype item. You know, like the first thing that jumps into my mind, honestly, is the Bigfoot pizza. I don't even think that's still around, but, you know, some people from the Northwest and others might remember that from Little Caesars, giant pizza cut into squares. It was a hype item, you know, just like Subway's giant sub.
Right. I mean, first of all, it's got to still be in circulation.
Okay.
Right. It's got to be. But also like a hype item.
You know
what
vintage we're dealing with.
Right. But like a hype item, too, like. You could take the McRib, but like that's like taking a flash in the pan that has like one good year.
Yeah, one good season. Exactly.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if I think the first item I drafted was like McDonald's French fries. Like, it's a classic. It's been there. It's productive. Everybody knows it.
Dude, that's safe. That's a safe designated hitter, I feel like. For like, you know, a hype item like the McRib or like the Shamrock Shake, I would say is more of like a Johnny Football. You know, like you just. It comes out the gate hot, but it's not really a long-term hitter.
No, and he was terrible as a pro.
That's what I'm saying. Where's the Shamrock Shake now? You see it but once a year for like a week. I mean, the Shamrock Shake isn't putting in work Monday, Tuesday, July, August, October, you know? Same with the PSL, you know, Pumpkin Spice Latte. I mean, that thing's working 1 month a year. What's it doing the rest of the time, you know?
But all right, let's ask this. Has anybody on this podcast, when's the last time you had a Shamrock Shake?
Literally zero times in my life, Ted.
Yeah, I was going to say on the corner.
Right, whereas like pumpkin spice lattes, like I had one 2 weekends ago. Like people actually drink this.
Oh, Ted Smith. Bougie.
Right, so, but is it, are we drafting for overall popularity or like for what we want that, you know?
The dream team.
That you know what I mean? Because like, if I'm in a draft with you, Ted, I'll take Chick-fil-A Nuggets first round.
Wow.
Like,
I think the idea was more of just like draft. Like, it's got to be like a iconic item. Now, Chick-fil-A Nuggets could be on there for sure. And they will be. But like, to me, I think I'd still take the Chicken McNugget in front of it.
So, Ted, okay. Would you say it's fair to characterize it as dream team? You're looking for a dream team.
Yeah, well, again, just think of a fantasy football draft, right? Like, you're just trying to get the most points. So, like, yeah. Right, you want to take the best players out there. So, like,
best players.
I'm going to go with an unpredictable item. I eat, for people who don't know, I actually eat a lot of fast food. I shouldn't, but I do. I'm embarrassed, but I'm kind of trashy at my core, despite the composed exterior. My item, I think, is going to cause some controversy on this podcast. I'm hoping it doesn't piss Ted off because he's already had a long day, but it needs to be said, needs to be entered in. My pick for the best value in America, I'm going Costco hot dog with the soda.
All right.
Right? Is it fast food? You know, I mean, I don't know, but best value in America. Hit your boy with the Costco hot dog. Millions sold a year.
But you're also eliminating a whole group of people that don't have Costco cards. I can't even see your guy play.
Here's the thing. Okay, Ted, you know, it's location dependent on whether you need a membership or not. The Kirkland location, for instance, there's outside access. You can just walk right up. Some of the other locations, they're not so fond of that, like the one down in South Seattle. So I hear what you're saying. But, you know, if I need a membership to get my fast food item, then I need a membership to get my fast food item. I mean, Starbucks has a rewards program. You know, it's just varying degrees.
Right, but... Starbucks I can walk into. So your cost value kind of goes out the window if I got to pay $70 a year out of the gate. Either way, hey, look, I'll write it down. That could be your first pick. I mean, I'm happy to see it. You're leaving a lot of good items on the board. Is that what you
get
want?
Get that dog on there. Everybody knows its value. That's it. You know what? What that should have been is a late. I haven't done a lot of fantasy drafts. That should have been a late pick when most of the value on the board is gone and people don't realize. Undervalued item, but I'll stick with it.
Matt, who you got?
All right. Well, after our discussion, I think I can hold off on that to the second round. So first round, I'm going to go with a pick that over the years has jumped up from the iconic 99-cent status, but I think still moves a ton of products, particularly among stoners in the late night crowd. And even though it's like $1.19, I think we're still going to get a lot of movement out of Jack in the Box tacos.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's a good, I like that pick, right?
People are paying plastic, like the 99-cent thing, and you had to pay tax anyway. You're still scrambling for that dime.
Matt, so, I had four on Sunday.
I don't like that it's over 99 cents on principle, but I don't think it's affecting hype and sales.
Right, and that's right. That's a good pick. That's what I'm saying. Like, those are like, Jack in the Box has a ton of other better stuff. But, like, I don't know anybody. Like, you go to Jack in the Box, like, yeah, you know what? I'll take two tacos.
Throw those two tacos on the end of that order.
Come on.
Right?
Damn, what else you got, Ted?
I think I'm sticking with McDonald's French fries.
Oh, that's the only – you're drafting them twice?
No. I didn't take anybody yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Man. You're right. There's a lot of open space on that board. I mean, I got to talk myself through it. It's like, you know, you have some hype items like the JBC, for instance, Junior Bacon Cheeseburger, Wendy's, solid. But Wendy's also has a deluxe double stack. I would say better but less popular. You have something like the iconic Big Mac, of course. For a while, they had the Big and Tasty. I would say probably a little bit better sandwich. You have the Ultimate Cheeseburger at Jack in the Box. That's another fan favorite. Jack in the Box's Big Cheeseburger, which was never on the menu and now has been removed from circulation. God, the 10 taco stack from Taco Bell. I mean, Taco Time is a natural soft taco, but that's not available nationwide. You got, you know, you want to talk about volume. I mean, Northwest, I can think of a late round item that's not going to get taken by you, which is the Waffle House waffle. You know, that's not even on y'all's radar. Okay. But they're selling millions of those things a year. I mean, In-N-Out, yeah, animal style. If I got to narrow myself down, log myself into a position, I think I'm going to say, oh God, no, that's again, I'm getting great value late round items, but I need to go with the classic. I'm going to say the McDonald's cheeseburger. Just straight up.
One of the most popular items. Over the Big Mac, huh?
Yeah, I used to, you know, my move was the value menu that had two cheeseburgers, fries, and a drink. I like it better than the Big Mac.
Wow.
And I bet they sell more of them because it's in the Happy Meal as well. You know, it's like, it's on the value menu and it's also on like the, whatever their meals are called, extra value menu.
And you're right. Yeah. I mean, again, this conversation was just spurred out of a text thread. It's just like, who we drafted?
I like it. I love it, actually. I know way too much about fast food. It's embarrassing.
I mean, but Cobb, did you hear that we love quarter pounders so much in this country that when they offered a third pounder, people just were like, yeah, I don't care. Give me the quarter pounder. And they thought it was more.
Yeah, I love America.
I didn't Hardee's fact check that, but.
Yeah, no, it is. It was Hardee's / Carl's Jr. And they were like, well, add a third pound burger or a quarter or right. Third pound burger. But people were so used to the quarter pounder, they didn't realize that the third pound was more than a quarter.
Yeah, people are like, four is bigger than three.
Yeah.
I mean, there's whole empires we haven't even touched on, boys. You know?
Yeah.
I know Arby's is very popular, though I hate it. I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I want to pick something off Taco Bell, you know, but I don't really know what's like leading their sales. You know, like, do I go with my personal favorite, the bean and cheese burrito? Those Doritos tacos are still on the menu. I was shocked, but I had one the last time I went to Taco Bell, and it feels like they're not as good as they were 6 years ago or whenever I had them last before that.
Right. And think again, like it doesn't have to be the biggest selling item. We're just talking about like iconic fast food stuff.
All right. Yeah, I'll take the Blizzards.
Ooh, good choice.
I can just take all the Blizzards, right? I don't have to pick a specific flavor.
No, you're just taking the Blizzard. Yeah.
Dang. Boys, I just pulled up the list of the top 50 fast food items in America and we've got some hitters. We got some winners.
All right. I'm going to take a pizza from Domino's.
Okay, dude. Okay. Here's my question for you. This is not pushback. This is an unpopular opinion. You know how Domino's did that that ad campaign a while ago? They're like, hey, we know our pizzas suck, but we're changing. We're redoing things. Yeah. They had all those pictures of cheese stuck to the box and pizzas being delivered upside down or whatever, and they redid them.
Right.
My unpopular opinion is that I prefer old Domino's to new classy Domino's. What are your thoughts?
We have had this discussion in private. I'm all for the new Domino's.
I prefer three generations of Domino's ago, actually.
You say three?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Do like the greasy one as kids was the best.
Right. Well, I think they changed it after from when we were kids. But the one where they were like, hey, we messed up, that was after another rebrand. And I liked the recipe before that.
Oh, what was the other rebrand? I don't even remember that.
I don't know. They had some big new and improved thing. And then they were like, yep, we f***ed that up. Check out this montage. And that's what you're referencing.
Dude, it is funny, man. I mean, just that we're old enough to remember like the eras of fast food advertising. Like, you guys remember McWorld? Hey, it could happen. McWorld. It was like all a McDonald's based world.
And like when Domino's opened, that was a massive deal, right? Because like we only went and ate at Pizza Huts. And then there was like local spots like Three Brothers or something like that, or Lido's. Shout out to Lido's Pizza, which is great. But yeah, when Domino's opened, I remember like driving to one and getting pizzas. It was a massive deal. And then it used to be 30 minutes or it was free. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, dude, fast food had a lot of hype when we were younger. Like, I remember the McDonald's by my house growing up. If anyone's familiar with the McDonald's on 100th in Juanita, they had like the Hamburglar was like a cage. You'd like climb up in this tower and you're inside of a cheeseburger that was a cage for children. Like, they had some crazy, but yeah, like they're old school playlands. They're like not the safe ones. I'm talking about like the metal based, like dangerous ones. It's just like, you know, they just put down concrete and steel bars. Like, go have fun, kids. That was wild.
That's what I grew up with, in that like orange drink you would get from McDonald's.
Yes.
The high C.
Yeah. Right. Cause it would come in that giant like igloo container too. And like, you know, I remember working basketball camp and they had like a little kids day camp at the same university. And like where you'd go in the back to like pump up the balls, like they'd have a cooler of like a giant orange cooler of that. And I'd always be stealing some, like, tastes great. Reminds me of being a kid.
Dude, that's funny. Do you guys want to hear a couple of the top items or keep drafting?
Let's do three rounds and then let's hear the items.
Okay, man, mine, I didn't really look closely at the list, so none of mine will be from that, but I would say I'm tempted to, wait, is it my pick?
Yeah, you were first.
Okay. All right. I've got a burger and I've got a hot dog, which in hindsight seems ill-advised.
I tried to help you.
it comes with a drink, man. $1.50. That's the best value in America. The best value in America used to be a Slurpee, in my opinion, but their prices have skyrocketed. Still love them though. I think I'm going to go, man, this brand is not as big here. It's Columbus, Ohio based, and I've talked about the podcast before about seeing its purveyor's grandson at a strip club. I'm going to go with the Wendy's Frosty.
Oh, that's a good choice. I like that.
I feel good about that one. I love those. They're not that big here, but they hit, man. They hit.
Dip fries in them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Matt, what are you thinking there?
I'm going to stick with the Chick-fil-A nuggets.
All right, he goes Chick-fil-A nuggets.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that might be it's a little close to the heart. You know, it's a feel-good pick, but, you know, they're iconic. And, you know, yeah, they're big all, you know, again, not huge in Washington, but like, yeah, Chick-fil-A has quite a pull down in other parts of the countries.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because right now I'm like, I should take Chicken McNuggets, but then we're going to have a nugget off.
Yeah.
Kind of think. Like, to me, the bean burrito is like the classic, or like soft taco from Taco Bell. Still don't know about that one. You got Burger King.
I know Taco Bell is tough to narrow down to an item.
Yeah,
everyone's all over the place.
Yeah, I used to always go Mexican pizza, but they discontinued it, which sucks.
Oh, yeah, and you got gorditas, chalupas. I mean, like, some of their crazier like drinks. I mean, it's all the same like six ingredients over and over, but.
Oh, you know what? I got one. I'm sticking with the tried and true. I'm going to go classic Egg McMuffin.
Whoa.
Wow.
Dang, dude. Left field. I wasn't even looking at players in the Pac-10. I mean, that's like, yeah, you went the other direction on that with the breakfast move.
I mean, You know what I mean? Like, you think breakfast, like Egg McMuffin comes. I mean, that's the thing, too. McDonald's is just kind of the first. So they're bringing, it's like one of the laws of marketing, right? You got like nuggets or McNuggets, Egg McMuffin.
Icon. Icon. Yeah. Egg McMuffin is an icon.
Well, think of how many things you put Mick in front of. Like, I remember, like, my mom would make muffins or like an English muffin, scrambled eggs, a piece of Taylor ham, pork roll, and a slice of American cheese. So we still called them Mom McMuffin.
Nice. Yeah, man, dude, it's just crazy now. I'm thinking more about like how deep fast food places go with advertising. You remember like the Monopoly game?
Oh yeah.
Did you see that documentary about like the guys who are cheating it and like winning $1 million every time?
I did, yeah.
It's like some syndicate, I think it's called McMillions, something like that. But god, man, like that was so, I always thought I would win a jet ski. I was like, that'd be amazing. I don't know what I would have done with it as a 12-year-old, but god, that seemed just like, it seemed unbelievable. And then as an adult, you know, you're just like, yeah, I don't know if I want to deal with a jet ski all the time, you know?
Yeah, we judged a contest where somebody won a jet ski, and I don't think they even wanted it.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, man. Experience really does change perspective, boys, because a jet ski, my life would have been made with a jet ski at 12.
I think also, like, you got to take into account new stuff. Like, I feel like the Popeye's chicken sandwich would be on the list, too, now.
That's such a heavy hitter, dude. There's a lot of – that's a – here's the thing. There's a lot of discrepancy about who has the top chicken sandwich, but I'm with you. I think Popeye's reigns supreme. Now, Matt, of course, is going to come at us with Chick-fil-A. Some people will come at us sideways with, like, what's that one with the orange sign?
Popeye's.
Yeah. No. Dude, they have a competitor. I'm thinking of Church's chicken.
Oh, yeah. That's
another big one. But, like, yeah, I'm with you, Ted. Popeye's, man. Even, you know, McDonald's redid their chicken sandwich, and somebody else did, too. But it just – Popeye's hits.
Yeah, and it's a chicken joint. All right, Cobb, what do you got on that list? What's the top 10 fast food items?
All right. Number one, actually kind of a surprise, waffle fries from Chick-fil-A.
Huh.
Number two, the double-double from In-N-Out.
All right. Yeah, In-N-Out's good. We were just doing ours nationwide, so that's what's tough with In-N-Out.
Yeah, and this was just a staff two-step vote of 100 people, and then a general election. Number three, the fries from McDonald's.
Nice.
Number four, the chicken at Popeye's.
All right. It is good. Got to love that chicken from Popeye's.
Five, the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, it's the original.
The Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich is transcendent. The perfect combination of a generous portion of breaded chicken, soft bun, and tart pickles. It's enhanced by only one thing, Polynesian sauce. Number six is, I this blows my mind. I can't believe it's even on here, but curly fries from Arby's.
Ooh, that's a good call. Those are delicious fries.
I don't touch anything that comes out of an Arby's kitchen. That roast beef is just disgusting looking to me.
I disagree. I'm pro Arby's. Now, with that said, I don't think I've had Arby's in probably 3 or 4 years.
Dude, it's just that like skanky roast beef, like hanging off like a half collapsed bun. I just can't do it, dude. And then you're going to go dip it in like some fake ajou sauce. Like, oh man. Ted, you know, that look, dude, I like fast food, but that says a lot about you.
Oh, beef and cheddar all day long, man.
All right. Yeah, I hope people listening to this, let that phrase go through your mind next time you eat Arby's, skanky roast beef. Number seven is the Blizzard from Dairy Queen. Definitely
good pick, Matt. Good pick, Matt.
Thank you.
Number eight, the Frosties from Wendy's. Holla back.
Wow. All right, good pick. We're all on the board.
Number nine, the king of the broken frozen machine, the McFlurry from McDonald's.
Wow. All right.
And this last one's going to annoy you guys. I'm just going to tell you that right now because I would not consider this fast food. I don't think Ted would. So if you'd like me to go to the item after, I can, but the bacon cheeseburger from Five Guys Burgers and Fries.
Yeah, I mean, it still count. I think I still count it as fast food.
Yeah, you know, I'm somebody who likes to be technical. I'm saying that's fast cash all the way. If I have to get out of my car to get it, it's not fast food.
Yeah, and we had that argument, but I feel like I don't know that anybody's even using fast casual anymore.
Oh, sure. Yeah, in the circles I run in. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Right, but I think some of those places now brand themselves as like fast food.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think of like the Chipotles and the Sweetgreens and Taco Del Mar and stuff. But yeah, yeah, yeah. It literally is inconsequential. No one cares.
I am freaking starving now, but we'll take a break. We'll take a break now. We'll come back with some emails and stuff and get through the rest of the show. I gotta go eat.
Ted, as dumb as that was a great topic, man.
All right, we're back. Another the home edition of the podcast. Again, thanks to our sponsors. So real quick, if you're at home listening, Cobb took the Costco hot dog, the McDonald's cheeseburger, and the Wendy's Frosty. Matt took Jack in the Box tacos, the Dairy Queen Blizzard, and the Chick-fil-A nuggets. Ted Smith, I had McDonald's french fries, a Domino's pizza, and an egg McMuffin. So send us an email. Let us know who you think won. For my brother and Will, I'll see you this weekend. We can talk about that more.
It obviously wasn't me. I'll just say that right now.
I mean, look, Costco hot dog was a tough first round pick, man. You're like Jerry Jones. You saw some dude that's like really fast or like, fuck it, I'm drafting him. Like, no, we can get him in the sixth round. Like, no,
totally. It's like, no, we want him first round. F it.
Okay.
We won't see the value.
I always go on this tailgate tour with my brother and Will. And then a couple of years ago, we just went to Denver to go to Denver. So then this year, we just picked Milwaukee randomly. Well, it's in the middle of the country, and it's the home of Miller Lite, which is one of our sponsors of our tour. But the Brewers are playing the Braves in Major League Baseball Divisional Series on Friday and Saturday when we're there. So Saturday, if we go to a bar by the stadium, are we tailgating? Is it officially a tailgate tour again?
Playoffs? Yeah, for sure.
That's what I think too, man.
I mean, it's a similar atmosphere. You know, I would definitely count it. It's closer to tailgating than what you'd be doing if you didn't go there.
Yeah, right? I'm like, man, we're right by the stadium. And Milwaukee's got some cool old bars, man. It's like they look like old houses and stuff. And I was like, this is awesome. And they all have fried cheese curds. I'm like, I'm going to eat so many cheese curds this weekend.
I was trying to look up. So you said the Braves are playing, right?
It's the Brewers and Braves, yeah.
Dude, so I believed that Milwaukee was an Indian name, like I think it's in Home Alone when they're riding in that thing and John Candy is explaining. He's like, Milwaukee. The locals pronounce it as Milwaukee.
Alice Cooper. And Wayne.
Yeah, Alice Cooper. Dude, yeah.
Wayne's
what movie World. Is that from? Is that
Wayne's World.
Wayne's
World.
Dude,
yeah, so I looked it up and that's actually true. So the name Milwaukee comes from the Algonquin word Milwaukee, meaning good, beautiful, or pleasant land or gathering place by water. Ted, you should know the name has a less pleasant connotation in the Menomi language where it is called, I can't even pronounce that, but it means some misfortune happens.
Yeah, somebody will pass out. It'll be all right. All right, Mr. Cobb, we've got some emails.
Yeah. All right. So the last week we were talking about the showdown inside of a Home Depot with Jackie Chan. It's just you and him. You get to start wherever you want, but two men enter, one man leave. So we had a couple on that. Let's see. Jackie Chan, Home Depot fight. Good day, fellas. It's been a minute since I rode into the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
But this one got me thinking. To fight Jackie, I'd go for the brightest Maglite I could find and as many cans of spray paint or wasp spray as I can carry. I would attempt to blind him with the light and spray him until he either gave up on the attack or got disoriented enough that I could attempt to thump him with the back of the flashlight. I think I could probably outrun him for a little while since he's fairly old, so attrition would be my game. Love the podcasts, Chris.
Great thought process, Chris. Love it.
I mean, he is old, but he's still Jackie Chan. I feel like he's still pretty fast.
Jackie Chan showdown. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
In regards to the Jackie Chan Home Depot showdown cop topic, I've devised a plan. First, I would cut eye holes into a flower pot and arm holes into a garbage can. I would grab some dryer exhaust tubing for my arms and spray the inside of all of these with some sort of flame retardant epoxy in case shit really hits the fan. I'd tape an aerosol can to a blue... Dude, sometimes I read ahead and it just... Sorry. I'd tape an aerosol can to a butane torch. I then steal a John Deere riding mower and use industrial strength adhesive to cover the mower with nails, which I will then ride around the store wildly swinging machetes or lawnmower blades. Cheers. Stefan, a.k.a. Swagmaster Prime, a.k.a. The Podcast Connoisseur.
Yeah, I like people actually put in, like, real thought into this one. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, I'm just picturing someone sitting at work for, like, 5 hours being like, all right, Ted likes the nail gun. Okay. Like, Matt, more of a melee combatant. I get that.
Yeah.
All right. Switching topics. Greetings to the greatest F1 podcast in all the land.
I like that.
All right, Ted, what's up with the Max hate? He's a great guy with a humble interview presence. At his age, Lewis was more controversial. He's since grown into an awesome man and a good personality off the track. I'm pumped for this season as it's an actual fight between the best drivers and the best cars. Might the Netflix show be coloring your opinion? Danny Rick was obviously the hero in that Noritake. The first two seasons, remember that if we went by his TV debut, we'd all hate Cobb. I had to defend the shit out of him to the GF when it aired.
I mean, that's the whole reason I don't like Max, is because of the show. That was my first, like, real introduction into F1, and he's always beaten Daniel. So, yeah, you're exactly right. And listen, like, you can like Max Verstappen. You don't have to take it personally.
Scott, thank you for defending me. I appreciate that. For what it's worth, the host of that show is involved in 70 lawsuits from the companies he supposedly helped. Have you all thought about making a fantasy league? My home and I are doing it, and it's easy because you're only keeping track of 20 racers. Not yet the mayhem of the NFL. You can create a Discord channel and let the civilized trash talk fly. Lastly, Kraken, center ice, 200 levels. I got tickets on the cheap. Hit me up on Facebook, Matt. I have like 8 games left. Peace out and LARP on. Scott, a.k.a. the friendly IT guy, a.k.a. the higher planes drifter.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Awesome.
All right.
Two more. Greetings to the greatest F1 podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Wait, we got two of the same email.
I was going to say, there's no way two people greeted us as the greatest F1 podcast in all the land.
That's why I batched them. I was like, wow, okay. All right. What's up, fellas? This is from last week. So the cop topic was, what was the last thing that made you feel a 10 out of 10 happiness? What's up, fellas? Regarding this week's cop topic, I can't necessarily say that this is the most recent time I felt 10 out of 10 happiness, but this is what instantly came to mind. Okay, so I'll be honest by saying up front that I'm very much a nervous flyer. I hate turbulence. And this summer, flying from Seattle to Chicago, our airplane ran into a lot of it. So needless to say, I was pretty damn anxious for the returning flight back. So much so that the entire flight back, I had my head down on the tray, trying to picture myself anywhere but an airplane. Well, at one point, my fiance nudges me to look out the window, and we had just made it over the Cascade Mountains. It was twilight, and the glow of the sun that had recently gone down was still peeking above the horizon of the Puget Sound. The city lights were starting to come on. You could see the Space Needle, Lumen Field, and the pink glow of T-Mobile Park. And it was so amazingly beautiful, all the anxiety I had felt for the flight melted away. I was in awe of how beautiful this city is, and I not only felt pure happiness, I also felt strangely calm about flying for the first time in a long time. Thank you guys for continuously putting out the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Hope to see you all sometime soon. Alfie.
Alfie, I will say this, Alfie. When I was flying up from South Carolina to Philadelphia this summer, that was the first time in a long time that the turbulence even scared me. Like, I usually don't care about turbulence. It was so rough. My stomach was churning. I was like, uh-oh. And I don't usually care, but I'm kind of flinching here. This is legit.
This is how it ends for old Ted Smith.
Well, I think, too, people don't realize, like, I went out with a flight attendant for a little bit, like a month, and, like, she would tell me stories. She was like, there's so much worse turbulence than people realize. There's so many flights. You're just generally not on one of those flights. But she's like, oh, it's brutal sometimes. I'm like, oh, that sounds awful.
Whew.
Yeah, I've seen some videos like that's why they have like that fasten seatbelt sign. Because people will get like thrown like, you know, against the top of the plane and stuff when it drops.
Yeah.
Pretty rowdy.
Yeah, it's very rowdy. Oh, man. All right. You know what? We'll take another break there, and then we'll come back with what's mattening and the cop topic. All right. Well, there's our second break. I think it's now time to see what Matt's been up to and what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Before we get to what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Check out what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Check out what's mattening.
Well, I'm back in Seattle now. And so I had, you know, the weekend was mostly just like you had to get ready to fly back, and then you fly back and you try and settle back in because we flew on Saturday. But I'll tell this story because it was so rad. This because I'm waiting in line, you know, RIP to the Mariners season, but like the hype was real Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
We were in it. We had a game, and I saw a dude. He was like standing in front of me in line, and he had a Griffey jersey on. And then I noticed he had some calf tattoos, one on each side that said Inland Empire, which is like a section of California outside of LA. Yeah. And I was like, tell me that this guy also grew up in Southern California, but is a Mariners fan because of Griffey. Griffey, like you could have lived anywhere in those days and been a Mariners fan because of Griffey.
And for sure.
He just transcended geography at a time before the internet.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, when I was in high school, we talked about Griffey all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, this guy, I just had that story in my head. Right. And then sure enough, I get to my seat. Tyler and I had booked the aisle in the window in hopes that no one would sit in the middle. This guy's sitting in the middle.
Whoa.
I'm like, what's up, dude? Do you want to take out? And he's like, oh, man, I was hoping it would be a couple. Like, hell yeah. And so, you know, before we had even taken off, I was just like, so, man, like, you were sitting in front of me in line. I noticed the tattoos and the Griffey jersey. Like, did you also grow up in Southern California as a Griffey fan in the 90s? And he's like, yeah, dude, I actually saw Griffey play in the minors when in San Bernardino, like back in the 80s. So he was a Griffey fan well before I even knew who Griffey was, or most people did. And it was super cool. And I'm like, all right, dude, so what's your name? His name was Matt too. And so got a couple of like Southern California blown Mets that grew up Griffey fans. Yeah. And we're just having a blast. We haven't even taken off yet. And I'm like, tell me. So that was the other part of my story. I'm like, and this guy's flying up for the game tomorrow, right? Like, you got to be flying up for the game. And he's like, yeah, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. I grew up in the Inland Empire as a Griffey fan, and I'm flying up for the game tomorrow. And then I was like, hell yeah, dude. And I wasn't like super paying attention. He's like, yeah, but there's a game on right now. And I was like, oh, damn. So as we're still like in Palm Springs on the ground, I'm like, oh, snap. We got to watch that game in flight. Like, I know we could figure this out. I get an hour of free Wi-Fi as a T-Mobile customer. I'm like, how the hell do you stream the Mariners? But the plane started moving. And like, you know, I wanted to have it figured out with ground data. Right. Not plain Wi-Fi, but it was like a countdown, like to take off of like, all right, got to download MLB app and, you know, get this situated and create a free trial account for MLB TV that I'm going to cancel when we land. Like, done deal. Get it all lined up. We get into the cruising altitude. They turn on the Wi-Fi and, you know, I pull it up on my phone and we just had so much fun watching that game, and it's like terrible quality, like grainy pictures, like chopping every 5 seconds. Two of the homers, it like froze while the pitch was in the air.
Ooh, ooh. I mean, hey, look, I respect that you're actually watching it, though.
Oh, dude. I mean, Ted, you would have loved it. The whole play, like, Matt was so enthusiastic. He's like, yeah, like, on a late night flight, like, people are like, oh, sorry, we scored. And the lady's like, what's the score now? Like, from the throw over. And so it was a wild-ass game. You know, the Mariners started out with the lead. And then while we were on, like, as we were getting close to descent, as they're about to turn off the Wi-Fi, which after the first hour, I just started paying for Wi-Fi, which I've never done as a T-Mobile customer. And he's like, an hour is fine. But I was like, we can't miss any of this game. And so just like re-upped it. Then it cut out. Like, as soon as you start descending, they turn off the Wi-Fi. And it's like in the eighth inning and the Mariners were down. And so we land and I'm like, oh my God, I try and get it back up. And the video is blacked out because now I'm in the local market. And we're like, what is happening?
Wow.
And Matt and I are talking this out like kind of loudly. And then you hear someone like three rows back, you hear Rick Riz. And someone had pulled up the audio feed on their phone and they turn it up right in time. The bases are loaded. Haniger's up to the plate and right in time for the call on that game winning hit by Haniger. It was, and the whole back half of the plane where we were just went nuts. It was wild.
That's so rad.
That is, man. That's a good sports moment.
I love that. Yeah. That's how sports bring people together.
It was so rad. And you know, of course the M's lost the next game that he actually went to, but it's like, hey, we had a hell of a time on that flight, man.
Yeah, and at least he got to go to Seattle and it was the last day of the season and it actually mattered.
That's why I was telling him, dude, like you're coming here on such a great day to see this city. And he was staying at like Hotel Max. So like pretty close walking distance, you know, and he's like, dude, I just booked the tickets like 2 days ago. I don't even know how I'm getting to the hotel. I was like, dude, you're right by the light rail. You just got to get off at Westlake, walk up Stewart. You'll be fine, man. Then you can walk back down to the game, walk back up the hill. Like you're not all the way up one of the crazy ones, but like, you'll be a little drunk. You'll be able to handle it. And, you know, yeah, it was just all-time flight experience, all-time sports experience. And, yeah, so it was a ton of fun.
Dude, that's so cool. I love that. That's
awesome.
Yeah, I thought you guys would dig that one.
Dude, I'll tell you what. Like, number one, it's fun having a sports thing. But when you get somebody sitting next to you on a plane that you're having fun chopping it up with, it just makes it go so much quicker.
Yeah, absolutely. Seriously.
Absolutely. And the intensity of whether or not the feed was going to work for that 10 seconds or whatever. I mean, like when the footage is that choppy, it's just an extra layer of excitement and there's nothing we could do about it at however 30,000 feet with plain Wi-Fi. So we had a great time.
All right. Nice. What'd you do for the Hawks game?
Went over to Tyler's mom's house, hung out with her niece, and, you know, she's, like, almost four, so I do push-ups every time the Hawks score, and I just do however many they have, and so I was making the four-year-old count. She gets a little bit lost around 17 sometimes, but, you know, yeah, she did great. It was fun.
Yeah, I saw the second half. I was playing soccer during the first half.
Yeah, how'd the game go?
Oh, man, tell you what. Second, like first game, I was playing because we just have six field players. So I was playing right midfield. Was actually Cobb. I was impressed. I had some good spacing. I was just kind of in the right spots, and I had one terrific run right up the middle, ball right in front of me, and just whiffed it.
Oh, Ted!
I know. Like when you're, I can't explain to people. And like, listen, I play the lowest level of soccer you can play as an adult, but when you're on a dead sprint, it is. I know it looks easy, but trying to kick a ball, it's just hard. And then the second game I was playing forward, had another couple chances, put a couple close to on frame. But yeah, I definitely had, like, everybody's like, you did a great job today. I was like, yeah, I got to convert those for us. Cause I tell you what, my team's good on defense and passing. We do not score goals. So I'm like, next week, next week. I like when I get like the, not this week is Milwaukee, but the week after, like I'm putting one in.
Need that shooter, baby. Shooter's got to shoot.
I think I got to break out my fancy boots. I've been holding on to them for over 2 years.
Break them in first. Wear them around your house. Trust me.
I know. The problem is you wear boots that fancy, you got to score.
Oh, yeah. You got to put one in the net. Maybe two. And you got to have some cool hair, too.
Right. Well, that's not going to happen. All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Cobb topic.
Ted, I would just like to say I believe in miracles. Anything can happen, including hair or a goal. Okay, so this is kind of a, I don't know, this is like a little bit of a discovery question, I guess. Somehow, you know, you just, okay, you go through life and there's a lot of common everyday things that happen and most people experience most things, but every person kind of misses out on a few things. And down at Pike Place Market where I work, this woman owns a shop and she likes our popcorn. So she decided to bring in some of her product. And I, of course, knew what this item was, but somehow had never had a crepe before in my life. Those things are ridiculously good. I'd always heard about crepes, but she brought in some peach crepes. They were bomb. And it just kind of blew my mind because she was asking about it. And I was like, you know, honestly, I've never eaten a crepe in my life. I've been to Vietnam where they have lots of crepes because of the French influence. I've seen crepes, talked about crepes, but I never actually had one. So the cop topic this week is, what common thing have you never experienced? Email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com, and we'll read it on the cast next week.
I think the last time I had a crepe actually was at Meltdown, because there's that crepe stand that makes like breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
What
common thing have you never experienced or experienced very recently? That works too.
Dang, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I just did this with something. And I was I've never actually done this or eaten this, but I can't, for the life of me right now, I didn't
know what food. I know what it is. What's that kind of tuna?
Sunkist.
Huh?
Are you talking about brands?
No, like you get it at seared ahi.
Yeah, ahi tuna.
Oh, yeah.
Never gotten ahi tuna before, but you know, we were at this nice French restaurant down in Palm Springs. They called it Hawaiian seared ahi and they had pineapples on it. And I was like, I'm just a sucker for Hawaiian in the name and pineapples on stuff. Like I was on Hawaiian pizza in the 90s. Like people are all out bent out of shape about it, but it's like, I've been here. Yeah. So
I put in the hard yards.
I've been here, motherfuckers. I just stopped myself. Like I'm going to edit it. It's fine. That's what I wanted to say. So yeah, seared ahi is my recent, like, yeah, that stuff was pretty good.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Ted?
Man, I am racking my brain. I swear to God, in the last month, I just went through this and was like, I've never actually had one of these, but I can't remember what it is.
Isn't that the worst when it's like, it's called the tip of your tongue phenomenon. And it's like, the more you think about it, the more you're like, oh, I almost like I'm about to say it, but I just can't quite think of how to place it.
I locked myself in a bathroom with Jackie Chan loose in a Home Depot last week. And then these like emailers get all week to think about it and come up with these awesome responses.
I know, going flame retardant flower pots.
Right. Oh, seared ahi is delicious though. Man, Kyle, that's a tough, I'm trying to think if it was an experience. I'm like, man, I feel like there was literally something, and I like it's something everybody has, but I don't know. I've eaten so much different stuff over the years. Kind of a tough one.
Was it at the fair?
Oh, good.
That's a good call. Maybe it was just getting like the corn on the cob at the fair, which is like a big deal out here, but I don't know that I'd ever actually, you know what, Matt, that's a good call. That might be what it is. When I was eating that corn on the cob, I was like, I don't know that I've ever actually gotten corn on the cob at the fair.
Whoa, that's crazy. Yeah, that's a huge deal.
I don't think I have.
Yeah. I mean, right. You got to go for it. That, and I guess this is probably more for out here, but that was the first time I'd seen a log show in person.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Also never done that. If that's a common experience, add that to the list over here.
I mean, I guess for out here it is, but at the fair, it's much easier because it's like, Like, it's only like half an hour. I'm like, all right, this is pretty cool. But you know what? You're right. It probably was that corn. I was just sitting there like, I don't think I've ever eaten corn like this. And I've eaten corn on the cob, but I don't, you know, at the fair, it's just different, man. It's just better.
It just hits different.
It's true. It might just be the amount of butter on there, but either way, I was all in.
Nice.
All right. Well, there we go. What else am I going to say? Last week, I was all fired up about Maryland. Maryland got their ass beat. It was brutal.
I saw that. I didn't want to mention it.
Jesus Christ, that was bad. And you know, I was fired up to watch that thing, too. And then, like, I like, look, you lose to a better team, that's one thing. But Christ, boys, we had five turnovers from our starting quarterback, or five picks. We had fumbles that we lost. We lost our best wide receiver in the first quarter on a punt return. Like, look, I don't mind losing, but you can't beat yourself. And we will not, I repeat, we will not again let somebody come into our home and do this to us.
Well, and that was the thing, like, you know, we were talking last week a little bit about the difference between can't read, can't write, Kent State, and the number four, Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yeah, they looked all of a top five team on Friday night in College Park.
Yeah, I mean, they just hit harder, they move faster, they're better with the ball, they get those extra yards after the catch. I mean, that's a lot of interceptions, though. That quarterback's really got to be rethinking his life choices.
We're going to stick with it because his older brother gets in that trouble sometimes. It's Tua's little brother, Tagovailoa.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then, yeah, this week we just got to travel up to Columbus and play Ohio State. So that'll be simple.
That's just another hurdle in the track of life. What are they ranked right now? One?
I don't even know. I got to look at the standings.
They got to be up there.
They're up there, but did Ohio State already lost. Yeah, they already lost at home.
Really? Yeah, I don't see them in the top five here.
Yeah, I think they already lost a home game.
Number seven, one loss.
Yeah, I forget who they lost to, but yeah, that sounds like they're not in the top 10.
So yeah, it looks like Oregon, number eight.
That's right. That's who they lost to. Oregon beat them at home.
Wow. Damn.
Seahawks are back in the win column. Big one Thursday night against the Rams. I am not going to the game, but I'll be tailgating beforehand because never pass up a good opportunity like that. And then, I'll be in Milwaukee this weekend. We'll be back next week, though. I'll be back in town on Tuesday. Other than that, get out there. Enjoy it. Piece of advice for everybody out there with a serious girlfriend or a wife. Your Seahawks play Thursday night. This is the weekend to go to the pumpkin patch. You won't miss anything. You won't miss a Hawks game on Sunday. Let's use our brains out there, boys. Let's use our brains.
Dude, that's a true everyman tip right there. God, Ted. See, people love you, man. That's why people love you.
All right. For MCTP, for comedy, Ted Smith is the podcast. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.